from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That is One Summer Night by the Dan Lears, a little classic doo-wop. As we wrap up NBA Summer League with a championship game this particular summer night.
We'll get to Summer League in just a moment, but of course the big news of at least Friday afternoon is that the Grizzlies have indeed traded Zaire Williams. The Grizzlies trade Zaire Williams as well as a 2030 second round pick via the Dallas Mavericks for, let's see if I can get it right, Mamadi Diakate and the draft rights to Serbian, it's Dangbucic. He was the 54th pick in the 2014 draft. I think it's safe to say, Chris, I did not expect to see a 2014 draft pick or draft rights. That's quite the draft and stash. It seems to me that the bigger story is that the Grizzlies have indeed traded Zaire Williams. They also had to tag a second round pick to move him.
Yeah, the players are unlikely. The other players are unlikely to mean anything in this trade. They paid a second round pick to shave four million plus probably of salary off their books.
Yeah,
that's basically what happened here. I don't think the stash player will ever matter. I think it's highly likely that the player acquired from the Nets will not be on the roster when the season starts. If he is, he will not be on the roster past his guarantee date, his fully guarantee date, which is sometime in January. He is the kind of player they could use, but he's not the player they could use. I mean, this is a guy who's like already 26, 27. He's played like 50 games for like four different teams over like 5 years. He's averaged like 3 points a game. It's not the guy. And so this is about two things, I think. One, primarily it's about shaving salary and giving them the ability to, I think, someday re-sign Luke Kennard and not only be under the first apron, but be under the tax completely when they do so. And then it clears up some clutter, because if you bring a Kennard back and you just drafted Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer and you still have John Conchar and you've got Vince Williams and Gigi Jackson and Jake LaRavia and Marcus Smart and Desmond Bane, that's just a lot of dudes sort of clustered around the same position. Zaire Williams has sort of run its course. He'd had 3 years to do something. He hadn't done anything. And it just seemed like the opportunity was no longer there for him in Memphis. So it's just not a guy you want having at the back of your roster who was a top 10 pick for you 3 years ago. So best to move on if you think the path is closed for him on your team. And then, you know, you got this money, you sign Kennard, and eventually you'll have a roster spot. And I don't know whether they'll fill that roster spot before the season, but I think they'll fill it before the end of the season. So you do give yourself some flexibility there.
I mean, to me, I know you've talked about this. I can see a case where they go in with just 14 guys, right? So that way you can give yourself some options.
I think that's likely at this point because given where the free agent market is. So that's a choice. They could assign someone earlier, and then you look and say, oh, well, there's nobody worth signing, which is sort of true. I think it's not worth filling the spot unless there's someone who can fill it you think was really going to help you. And I'm not saying there's no one like that out there, but there aren't many. And so in the absence of that, it sort of probably makes sense to be able to have flexibility to pivot where your needs end up being if you have needs. And if you're fortunate enough not to have needs you need to fill in season, you got that spot right there to take in a player in a trade, to elevate a Scottie Pippen or a Cam Spencer onto the main roster, to do stuff like that. The likelihood is you're going to add, whether it's from your G League team or via trade, you're going to add someone to the main roster in the season. So you would already have a spot to put them in.
And there's no rush, right? I mean, to me, like when everyone's like, oh, well, move up Scottie Pippen Jr., it's like, okay, maybe that's something you can do, but there's no need to do that right now. That was kind of how I felt.
He's under contract. Like, he's under fully guaranteed contract. He can't go anywhere. And you have 50 games to play him on the contract he's on. So, no, there's no particular reason to do that now. There would be a reason if he's having a good season to do that, you know, A, because you run out of games, and B, you couldn't play him in the playoffs. And then C, it may be like a Vince Williams, Gigi Jackson, where I locked him up for multiple years. So if you feel like, I guess the only thing I would say is that if there's a chance you could get him on, you know, that Gigi Jackson, Scottie Pippen, or the Gigi Jackson, Vince Williams contract now, but you feel like 50 games into the season, he wouldn't sign that kind of contract. Maybe that's a reason to, but I don't think that's where they're at with it.
And then just kind of as you take a look at the Zaire Williams tenure in Memphis, I mean, is this their biggest draft mistake, this front office?
Biggest draft mistake? Yes. Yeah, you know, 10th pick. He's certainly the highest pick who has not worked out they've had. You know, is either biggest, you know, transactional mistake. You know, they took a big-ish swing on Justice Winslow. They used a lot of cap space to make that happen. They actually didn't give up any picks of note, you know, for it. But, you know, they took a swing on Justice Winslow in trade. They took a swing on Zaire Williams in the lottery. Those didn't work out. You know, and so, yeah, it is. But honestly, if that's the worst thing you've done in the draft, that track record's been.
When you look at that deal, was it a mistake to move up before the draft when you didn't really know how the board was going to fall?
Well, that was an odd trade because it was sort of this Frankenstein's monster of different genres of NBA trades sort of all pushed together, which made it hard to evaluate. You move up in the draft, but you also like switch centers, and that was an active thing. Like they thought that was an upgrade for them. It was not perceived that way at the time, generally. But the Grizzlies were interested in having Steven Adams on their team, the Jonas Valanciunas on their team. So that was a component to it. You also like took on all kinds of salary. You also got what you thought was going to be a future first round pick, and like you sort of got screwed over on that because of the Lakers. So there were so many components to it. I do think it's true that there was a range of players. There's some like thought now that like they moved up because they thought they were going to get Josh Giddey or Franz Wagner. I don't think that's true. I think they hoped to get Josh Giddey or Franz Wagner, but I think when they moved up, they knew full well there was a good chance those guys would not be there. And so I think they moved up with full knowledge that there was a range of players and that they were going to get, and Zaire Williams was very likely that guy. So, you know, was it a mistake? I don't know. There were so many components to it. The Zaire Williams part was clearly a mistake. But, like, the Steven Adams thing worked out. And I think they had every reason to expect they were going to get a first-round pick from the Lakers. Everyone expected them to get that pick. And so, you know, there were just so many components to it. I have a hard time being animated about the mistake of it all. But certainly the Zaire Williams part was a mistake.
Well, and then to me, it's like, and I don't know if you know the answer, what if, you know, if you wanted Steven Adams, like you had to make the deal then, like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't feel comfortable saying one way or the other, like on the timing, like they maybe to get the deal done, maybe they had to do it then because the deal could have gone to someone else.
Yeah. I don't know. The timing is interesting because usually a pick related trade happens during the draft because it's contingent on a player. But like the next year, like the Grizzlies did a pick and went the other way. They were sending out the picks, not getting the picks. But their first round pick the next year, they traded before the draft. It was in the Marcus Smart trade, right?
Yep.
And so sometimes, if your willingness to do the trade is not contingent on one specific player with the pick that is involved in the trade, you don't necessarily need to wait. And that was the tell. That trade for the Grizzlies was not contingent on an individual player. They were willing to make that trade to move up in that range of the draft. It was not specifically about Franz Wagner or Josh Giddey or Zaire Williams, for that matter. It was about they believed in that range of players. It turned out to be wrong because they, you know, Trey Murphy went the pick they traded with a similar kind of player. But, like, you know, that the valuations are wrong all the time.
Do you think it's likely that Zaire goes on and has a good career? Because to me, one of the things that Mark and I used to talk about is a lot of the guys that we've seen in the draft that the Grizzlies send out, you realize, hey, the biggest role they were probably ever going to have in the NBA was with the Grizzlies. To me, it's like I can kind of see where Zaire falls into that category as well.
Yeah, I think it's hard to have faith in it at this point. You know, he's had 3 years, and he was not, you know, although he did not play much in college, he did play 1 year. He was not straight preps to pros. And so he's four years removed from his high school class. He's had lots of opportunities. He's had moments. Like, he has NBA attributes, but like lots of guys who are not in the NBA have NBA attributes, you know?
Sure.
It's about putting them together to become a player. And I think with Zaire, even his best moments, I think, were pretty overrated. I mean, I was sort of banging this drum his rookie year. I think people were way too excited about what he was doing his rookie year. It was sort of similar to David Roddy early in his rookie year. You know, he runs the floor. He catches lobs. He has some ability on defense as a guard. I think not as a forward because of his strength. You know, as with a lot of players, like, can you stay healthy and will you become a three-point shooter? Like, if you tell me he stays healthy and he becomes a good three-point shooter, I think he has a career. But it's hard to have a lot of faith in it to this point. I think it is a good situation for him to try to hit the restart button on that Brooklyn team.
Yeah, to me, it's like, even if he goes on to have a good career, I don't really fault the Grizzlies for moving on. Because, to your point, it's like, I would rather see Vince Williams get those minutes. Like, there's a crowd. And to me, it's like, the guys that I would play over him, I think, have earned the right. And so, even if he goes on to have a good career, it's like, I tip my cap, wish him well. I don't think this was a mistake to finally move on.
No. I mean, the question would be, you know, there were different ways to move on, right? You could have stretched him and cleared the same money without giving up the future second round pick.
Yeah.
You could have just waived him and eaten the money now and not cleared the money. You know, you clear the roster spot, but you don't clear the money. You don't give up the second round pick. I mixed feelings about all that. I understand their interest in getting below the tax line once they are able to draft Zach Edey and sign Luke Kennard and still get there. But, you know, I don't love the idea of giving up even though it's a second-round pick and those are pretty fungible, I don't love the idea of just giving up a pick to clear salary space. But, you know, it's a distant future second-round pick. You know, those can be reacquired pretty easily, so it's not that big of a deal.
Is there anything to make of the fact that it does seem one of the motivations, if not, I don't know if it's the primary motivation, but it's certainly appears to be a motivation, is to get underneath the tax?
Well, I mean, you didn't have to. They didn't have to move Zaire Williams in a salary dump trade to sign Luke Kennard. The roster spot's there, the money's there. They didn't have to do that. They only had to do that to sign Luke Kennard and get under the tax. I'm going to write more about this whenever this actually happens.
Yeah.
With Luke Kennard. I think the tax question for the Grizzlies is a somewhat interesting one. And there's a difference between what you're doing right now to stay under the tax, which is basically getting rid of your 14th man, and other opportunities that may emerge over the course of the season that may bring the question back up.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's some people like, see, they're being cheap. It's like, I don't know, like, if you had a proven championship roster, like, if you're Boston and you're saying, screw it, we don't care, like, I understand, but, like, when you're with the Grizzlies and you know that you're going to have to tweak the roster and you're a small market team, like, I just didn't find myself going, the fact that this team's not won a championship yet, like, I don't think this is some type of, you know.
I would be, I mean, not to step on my home column, which someday we'll publish, I would be more animated about them ducking the tax if they were ducking the tax in a, by saying, here's our new starting center, Andre Drummond, and hey, Jalen Wells is replacing Luke Kennard in the rotation.
Yeah.
Like that didn't happen, you know?
I mean, I would be way more upset if I were a Nuggets fan. Like, it felt like to me what the Nuggets have done was like clearly cheap. Like, I don't feel like that these two things are the same.
They sacrificed a starter.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies sacrificed Zaire Williams.
Yeah, and to me, like those two things are clearly different. Was there anything else from the move that struck you?
No, I'm just struck by like that the Kennard thing is not immediately followed. Like I'm at the point now where I don't understand why it's taken so long. There's no indication whatsoever from anyone that like he's going anywhere else. Like the market's done at this point. They've made their salary dump move. I don't at this point. I'm not sure why it didn't follow like 2 hours later. You know,
I mean, I guess if like Luke's on vacation or something, but I mean, like we have PDFs now. Like,
right.
I don't.
Yeah.
Like, it is one of those moves, like, the longer it goes on, I find myself wondering, like, is this going to get done?
I think it is, both from my own information and from the total lack of counter-information anywhere else. But I don't understand why it's taken so long.
I mean, the fact that Adrian Wojnarowski included in his story, the deal moves out $6.1 million guaranteed on Williams' contract for the 24-25 season and creates more salary cap flexibility as the Grizzlies work towards re-signing Luke Kennard. Like, that to me, the fact that that was included, like
no.
that's the plan.
This has been the thing from the jump since they declined Kennard's option. That this has been what the process is going to be. It's sort of long expected, has become long delayed at this point, but it still seems to be this is the track we're on.
We're talking with Chris Harrington, of course, of the Daily Memphian. The Grizzly Summer League Bears continue to roll on. They defeat the Clippers 99-98 yesterday. Jalen Wells has what I would presume is by far the best summer league game he's had thus far. I can't think of another performance. But I was kind of thinking about
he had a similar game back in Salt Lake City. He had like a 27-point game or whatever back then. So he's had these two big games, and he's been kind of quiet for the rest. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like even that Salt Lake City game where he shot the ball is after the dreadful performance. Like, okay, I think that's really kind of the real question is there a role for him on this team?
Well, I think your hope is there doesn't need to be a role for him on this team this season.
Yeah,
I think he's going to open the season as the 14th guy. I think you assume he opens behind Laravia and Conchar. You know, he is a second-round pick who was taken, you know, in the late 30s. So you don't hope you're depending on that guy. But he gives you shooting depth. He's the kind of player who's, if he can play, is very functional. He's a 6'7 guy who can shoot. You can throw him out there in just about any kind of lineup. You know, if he pops, that's great. If he earns his way past those players, that's great. But I think this team should be constructed in a way that you are not depending on Jalen Wells to be a contributor this season.
Yeah, I mean, I like how you phrase it. It's like, you hope not. Like, you'd rather it be a developmental thing, and you hope that the guys that you have slotted ahead of him are performing better. I think the other thing I was thinking about was, has Scottie Pippen Jr., like, regardless of the result tonight, has he locked up the Summer League MVP?
Khalil Ware's had a really good Summer League. Some of these guys for the Heat.
Yeah.
And so, I'd have to look. It's interesting. I mean, has he locked it up over G.G. Jackson? I think if you've watched all the games, G.G. has been good, has been increasingly better. But if you've watched all these games, like I've watched all the Grizzlies games, like it's clear Scottie Pippen Jr. has been the MVP of this Grizzlies team in Summer League. I haven't watched games of other teams for the most part. So
I was in the same boat. It's like when people are saying, oh, he's going to be MVP, it's like to me, it's like he's clearly the Grizzlies MVP, but that would require me watching other games, and I've only watched Grizzlies games.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the box scores. I did look at this today. Of players who have played more than two games in Vegas, I believe G.G. Jackson is fourth in scoring average, and Scottie Pippen is sixth, and they're basically like 1 point difference. Then you look at the rebounds and the assists and the steals and everything else Scottie Pippen Jr. is doing. I feel like he's probably been the best player in the Summer League. And if the Grizzlies win this game and he plays well, he should probably be the Summer League MVP. Yeah, and by the way, if you go back and look at the list,
well, I was,
too,
it's funny
of Summer League MVPs.
It's funny that you mentioned it because I found myself, when I was looking up this morning,
yeah,
I was pleasantly surprised. Like, there's some that maybe don't translate, but it's not like a worthless list. Like, guys that have been Summer League MVP have gone on to have good careers.
The only one, and there's a difference. For some reason, there's like MVP of the championship game, yeah, and then there's the MVP of the Summer League, which are sort of different lists. The MVP of the championship game is a little spottier. MVP of the league as a whole, I think the only one who did not have a meaningful NBA career was Glenn Rice Jr.
Yeah.
There's a lot of former Grizzlies on that list. Brandon Clark won it for the Grizzlies, but then before they became Grizzlies, Jonas Valanciunas, Tyus Jones, and Kyle Anderson are all former Las Vegas Summer League MVPs.
And our boy Jerry D. Bayless.
Yep, that's right, Jerry Bayless. And so Josh Selby was a co-MVP one year. That didn't work out.
Yes, but he was with Damian Lillard. Worked out
right,
for Damian.
Right. How about that for a combo?
But, I mean, like, this list is certainly not a bad list. Randy Foy, Nate Robinson, Jared Bayless, Blake Griffin, John Wall, as mentioned, Dame Lillard, Josh Selby, co-MVPs, Jonas in 2014, the aforementioned Glenn Rice Jr., but Kyle Anderson, Tyus Jones, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Clark, Davion Mitchell, Cam Thomas, Keegan Murray, and then Cam Whitmore. Obviously, the jury's still out on some of those, but I was pleasantly surprised. Like, okay, this list is not as – I thought the list would have a little bit more volatility in terms of guys that had good careers, and for the most part, it's pretty solid.
Well, I think what makes it even more encouraging is that we've already seen him play really well. He didn't play a lot last season because he had some injury stuff. But when he played in the NBA games last season, he was really good. He looked really good in those games for the Grizzlies last season. And even though he's not like a rookie coming into Summer League, he's basically kind of rookie age. Like, he's not someone who – he's not LaRavia, who's like coming in a third year and seems like too old to be there. I mean, he's not too much out of the range of these guys either. And so it's not a case of, like, you know, you're playing down. You shouldn't be there anymore. I think he should be there. And I think Scottie Pippen looks like a real legit quality NBA player. Now, you know, is that, you know, the 48th best point guard in the NBA where you're like a slightly below average backup? It could be that. But even that's like, you know, a real player. Or maybe it's a lot better than that. Who knows?
When we get to the end of the season, do you think Scottie Pippen Jr. will still be on a two-way?
I'm going to say no, although they really like Cam Spencer.
Yeah.
You know? And so, but I just think there's so much more of a clear need for Pippen on this team that I think, A, that they will have a spot to play with. And then, B, I just wonder about the Derrick Rose thing. Like, I think this will be Derrick Rose's last season as an NBA player, I'm going to guess. And once you hit March, like, I mean, you know, at that point, like, has the veteran influence, have you gotten enough out of it that you could use that roster spot for someone who's actually going to help you in the playoffs? I wonder about that.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, I mean, I guess there's like a real question of how many minutes is there a need in a playoff series for a backup point guard for the Grizzlies? I mean, like...
Well, their hope, if you look at the roster, we're assuming Kennard's return, their hope is that a 10-man rotation doesn't include either of those guys, honestly.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, they need... If they're going to find enough minutes for John Morant, Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, Luke Kennard, and Vince Williams, all five of those guys, if they have all five healthy and they're going to find minutes for all five... That doesn't leave room for a Scottie Pippen Jr. or Derrick Rose.
What have you made of Trey Jemison so far?
I think he's been okay, but I'm not sold that he is the guy that they are going to have in that two-way spot when they get into the season.
Yeah.
Because I think they need someone in that spot who will be the front court Scottie Pippen Jr., the guy who is on a two-way but is not really a developmental player. They are a depth player for the Memphis Grizzlies. And I just don't know if Jemison is ready for that yet. I wonder if he's not a developmental tweener, not a positional tweener, but a developmental tweener, where he's too raw to be a depth player for the Grizzlies, but maybe a little bit too old to still be a developmental guy.
Yeah.
And so I like him, and I think he's played well, but he has not overwhelmed the summer league or anything.
When you talk about, you know, the two-way guy at that role, Do you like foresee a situation kind of like how the Grizzlies got Scottie Pippen, where there's another guy that maybe somebody moves on from or whatnot, and then they pick him up that way?
I assume they will keep their eyes wide open for those opportunities. You know, who's going to shake out of summer league that, like, you know, is not on a roster that they think could help them, or even more so, who's going to shake out of training camps? Because you can go into, like, year four and still have two-way eligibility. So there might be somebody, like, you know, I wouldn't want to make up names because I don't know. But there could be guys who, you know, were drafted 2 years ago and they've been bouncing around the bottom of rosters and they just get cut, the last guy cut on somebody's, you know, training camp roster. And then you think they can help you more next season. So I think they will keep their eye. I'm guessing they will keep their eyes open for those kind of guys.
Chris, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.